is the period during the summer, the 3 weeks, when the focus is on the Churban. Asar B'Teve seems to be somewhat in isolation on its own. It's not in season to be worrying about the Churban, so to speak. But Sfarim tell us that it's actually the opposite, that Asar B'Teves is not, it's not just a day in passing, it's actually a very serious day, with very serious ramifications. Such a Chazal, that on Asar B'Teves it's decreed whether the Beis Hamikdash shall be rebuilt on Tisha B'Av or not, every year. So it's a very serious day. I want to talk first about an idea from Rav Shimshon Pinkus about Yosef HaTzadik from this past week's parsha. Yosef HaTzadik was a person who, as I'll say, that his godless was in his control. Yosef was in control, controlled his Yetzer Hara. And yet we find that again and again, throughout parshas Miketz, parshas Vayigash, Yosef cries. He sees Binyamin for the first time. He wants to cry. He goes into his side room and he cries there. And this week's parsha, and yesterday's parsha, when Binyamin and Yosef reunite, so he falls on the shoulders of Binyamin and he cries, Binyamin bocha al tzavarov. When he meets Yaakov Avinu, so Yaakov Avinu is busy saying, Kriyushma vayefk al tzavarov, he cries and he cries again. The brothers come to Yaakov, this week's parsha, in parsha's Vayechi. When they ask him, they say, your father commanded us before he died that you should be mochel us. Vayefk Yosef v'davrum elov. Yosef cried when he spoke to them. Again and again, tears. Yosef cries. V'yochel Yosef l'sapik l'chol anitzavim. He couldn't hold back. It's not only Yosef, but it's Rachel. Maybe part of the hallmark of Rachel. The Rebbeinu Shem tells him, "Eniko lech mi bech. Hold back your voice from crying, v'nayach min dimma, and your eyes from tears. Restrain yourself. You don't need to cry anymore." So what's this concept of Yosef HaTzadik and tears? Constant crying. Yosef HaTzadik, or Pinkus says, is the expression of all of Klal Yisrael. Habein Yakir Li Ephraim, we say the Pasuk on Rosh Hashanah. Habein Yakir Li Ephraim, a dear and precious child to me is Ephraim. We also in the Navi Amos calls Klal Yisrael She'eris Yosef, the remnant of Yosef. And Yosef is an expression of Klal Yisrael. So if it's telling us that Yosef cries, that means there's something about Jews crying. So Pinkus says, well, at first I thought, well, Jews cry because there's so many tzaras. It's so painful. Life is so difficult. So many challenges and so many rivers of tears, torrents of tears over the exile. And he says, when in the olden times, when they would express about a bocher that wasn't growing properly, they would say, you know how bad he is? He doesn't cry when he says, v'hurachum. So that was something missing over there. Well, only if there's anybody here who cries when they say, v'hurachum. So he says, but I think there's something much deeper about a Jew and the concept of tears. There's a noted story that the Rama quotes in the Sefer Torah Sa'ola in the Hakdama. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was sitting and crying right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the great philosopher Plato came to him and he said to him, Yirmiyahu, you're the wise prophet, the amazing prophet of the Jews. Why are you crying over stones and wood that was burned to the ground and was destroyed? Let it, you know, bygones be bygones. It's just a building, for goodness sake. And you should cry so much. Why are you crying over the past? So Yirmiyahu said, Plato, you're a great philosopher. You must have deep philosophical questions. He says, why don't you ask me them? So Plato asks him his most poignant, pressing questions that he has no answers for. And Yirmiyahu patiently takes apart every question one by one and answers every single question. And Plato is astounded. And he said, I do not understand how a human being can contain so much wisdom. So Yirmiyahu said, you should know that all of my wisdom, all of my greatness, whatever I have, comes from that building. And that's why I'm crying. I'm not crying. You're crying, why? You're asking me, so why are you crying over the past? That I cannot answer you. Because you'll never understand. That's impossible for you to understand. Rabbi Reisman tells over this year at the Gudda convention, he spoke about the greatness of Hilchas, of Halacha, how much an important role it plays in our lives. So he said that his doctor, a number of years ago, he had a very serious surgery, a very serious hospitalization. So the doctor came in one day and he said, Rabbi Reisman, is it true what they tell me? That you give a class? He gives a Navi class on Motzei Shabbos. Thousands of people and it's televised, they'll broadcast. So Reisman said, yes. So he said, do they get a certificate? They get a diploma at the end? He said, no. Is there food? He said, no. So why did they come? So Reisman says, doctor, you'll never understand. So sometime later, he had one of his books. Rabbi Reisman wrote a very impressive, difficult work of Hilchus Ribbis. He wrote an art scrolls book on Hilchus Ribbis. He wrote. So someone, so he had it there. He wanted to give it to, I think, to his PT. So he had it next to his bed. So the doctor comes in and he looks at it and he says, you wrote this? He said, yeah. Laws of the rabbis? He says, not laws of the rabbis, laws of Ribbis. He says, what's Ribbis? He says, well, a Jew doesn't lend another Jew with interest. He says, what do you need such a big book for? You just told me. Huh? Doctor, you'll never understand. A certain mentality, a certain things that we take as a given that a guy can't relate to. So Yirmiyahu told Plato, I can't explain to you why I'm crying over it. So Rapinga says, it was because Plato was stupid? Obviously not. He was brilliant. He was the greatest philosopher who ever lived. His chachma was incredible. He meant to say, because you're a non-Jew and you're not in tuned to something that Jews are in tuned to, you can't relate it. What is that? What was he trying to convey? What is it that Jews cry about, that we cry over a churban, what is it? It's a building. Obviously it's not. So in order to understand, we have to understand what Yosef HaTzadik was, and the midah of Yosef. We know that there are seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael, so to speak. We invite them into our sukkah every night. A sukkah is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. Some people have Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, David. The Moshe, Aaron, Yosef is because even Yosef chronologically was before Moshe, but in midos, which each of the avos, each of the seven shepherds represent a midah, Yosef's midah comes after Moshe and Aaron. Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus. Yosef is Yisod. Yisod is the foundation. So there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says, we say it every morning, L'cha Hashem HaGedula, HaGevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, all those go in order of all the midos. The next midah is Kichol V'Hashemayim Avod. It's because you encompass all of heaven and earth. The next one is L'cha Hashem HaMlocha, which is Malchus, which is Zavad HaMelech. That means the midah of Yisod, the foundation, is called Bashamayim Voretz, Kichol Bashamayim Voretz, everything in heaven and earth. What does that mean? Kichol Bashamayim Voretz represents the concept that it is our role and our job in this world to bridge. There is a tremendous gap between heaven and earth, you may have noticed. Very far apart. Not only physically, but spiritually. And our job in this world is to bridge that gap, to bring them together, to bring heaven on earth, to make this world the conduit, the kli. Right, the Kotzker said, Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, we say it in Halal, the heavens belong to Hashem, V'aretz Nasan V'nei Adam, and the land He gave to mankind. The land He gave to mankind, says the Kotzker, to transform it into Shemayim, Shemayim LaHashem. That this whole world becomes a place of godliness, of divinity. A Russia separates between the two worlds. God, you're up there, we're down here, let's everyone stay in their own corner. Right, we'll do what we want, God, you do what you want in heaven, and runs the world as He wants. A tzaddik is defined as someone who lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That he lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'achei shemayim v'aretz, to unite heaven and earth. That's the midah of Yosef HaTzaddik. That there is no place on earth that I can hide. There's no place I can go where I don't feel Hashem. I could be alone with Eishes Potiphar. And no one will be the wiser. And no one will know. And I'm rejected from my family. Yichol b'shemayim v'aretz. There's a Hashem here. He sees his father's image. He can't do it. A tzaddik lives this way in his entire life, that everything is about that connection, that bridge. A tzaddik bridges heaven and earth. So he says, in the physical world, the Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea, is the lowest place on earth. In the spiritual world, where is the lowest place on earth? Chazal, the Torah, refers to Mitzrayim as Ervas HaOretz. I mean, if you translate that literally, it's pretty bad. It is the lowest place on earth spiritually. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, I believe, Zir Masusim Zir Masum. They're animals, so animalistic. They're such a seat of desire of giving into their passions and their whims. There was no place that was so bad. And the highest place is the Kisya Kovet. That Yosef HaTzadik is able to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into Tumas Mitzrayim and remain faithful in jail. Not only in jail, both of them, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, everything's a test. From being in jail is a test and being on the top of the world is a test. Yosef has to go through both. And at the same time, living with the fact that he was isolated and rejected and all that. And he's able to still maintain that semblance of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Mavril Alarayim. It's really, it's unbelievable. That's why Yosef is the foundation. He's the foundation. He builds it on top of. He builds a world, a society of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in a place which is not very conducive for that. What is the greatest connector between people? One person's in Eretz Yisrael, another person's in America. What connects them? Ahava. When there's a feeling of love. When there's a feeling of connection. No matter how far away we are, that love. What is that feeling of love? It's a feeling of yearning. It's a feeling of wanting to be connected. It's a feeling of wanting to be a part of, to touch. He says the ultimate love is the connection in the heart. How does that manifest itself? In emotions. When a person is cold towards someone else, it means there's no feeling of connection. Or there's an indifference. You keep your side, I keep my side. When there's emotion, it shows that there's a pull, that there's a connection between them. And the strongest emotion is tears. We don't only cry when we're sad. We cry also when we're overwhelmed with happiness because we don't know how to express it. We're not able to. You know, a person is blessed with the greatest events, marry off a child. They cry because it's overwhelming. That's how we express a feeling of intense love. A person sees somebody they haven't seen in so long. They run and they hug them and they kiss them. And they cry because it's that feeling of deep, deep connection. Mesillas Yesharim says that what's chassidus? He says chassidus is just like that feeling, that connection between a father and a son. A person has that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person feels deeply and intimately connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that level. And when a person talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they become emotional about it. Philosophy is a, so to speak, Rapinga says, it's a cold science. It's not a science. It's a thought. No one gets emotional over Pythagorean's theorem. If you do, then you have some issues. No one gets emotional over philosophy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Beis HaMikdash and being connected to Hashem is something that's supposed to make us feel emotional. And he says, that's why Yavan is called darkness. They had so much wisdom. How can it be darkness? And they did have wisdom. And we're the beneficiaries of it till today. Greece and Rome. You go to Washington, D.C., you see Greco-Roman everywhere. And our schools were teaching so much of knowledge that was taught in Greece and Rome. So how can you say it's darkness? It's darkness because it was unemotional. That was not making a bracha first. Because there's math, there's science, there's Talmud, and it's all together. And that's Choshech. Or light is when there's that connection. When it's not just something that I do. It's something that I live. It's my life. Yirmiyah said, if I would cry over my father, God forbid, a person's father dies, person cries. Plato, you would have a question to me. You would say, why are you crying? He's dead. Move on. No, because you understand there's an emotional attachment over there. And now it's gone. Of course I'm going to cry. Plato, you can't relate to the fact that that building represents the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I bought Karbanos. It wasn't just dry exercises. It was connection with the God who created the world. And now that's lost. That feeling of connection, Nora Elokim, the awesomeness of Hashem, Mimikdash Echo, comes from your Beis HaMikdash. We don't have that. We lost on such a deep level part of that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Yirmiyahu said, that's why I'm crying. And this is what I don't know if he said it, but this is what he meant. And he can't convey that to Plato. You see a building. I see the Shekhinah. I see the loss of the Shekhinah. So Rav Pinkus says, and that's why Yosef HaTzadik is constantly crying. Because there was such a yearning. He wasn't crying because he felt mistreated. So I mentioned that yesterday. That was incredibleness of Yosef. One of the reasons he's called Yosef HaTzadik, he withstood temptation, which is unbelievable. And also he didn't have a tinge of resentment. And he felt that everything that happened to him is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen to him. It's incredible that a person can reach such a level. That's why he's Yosef HaTzadik. That's why he's the Yesod. He's the foundation. And he's crying constantly because he has such a yearning to be reunited with his family. Reunite with Yaakov Avinu. Reunite with his brothers. That's why he's constantly crying. Says Pinkus, that's why a Jew cries. Not just because of the tsaris of Golis. That too. But it's because there's a yearning. Tzom alecha nafshi, kom alecha b'sari. I'm thirsty to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Tziyah v'ayif b'li moya. In a desolate desert without water, that a person just wants a drink. David HaMelech says, that's what I feel like to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm yearning. There's a kisuf, there's a feeling that I want to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaYisod shel HaKol Hu HaYisrak, Sir Pinka says. The foundation of everything is that feeling, that emotional connection. We don't just do this religion because it's intellectual exercise and it makes us feel good. I mean, hopefully it'll make us feel good because it's an emotional connection. And that's what Churban is supposed to be. That we're supposed to feel like we're missing something. I read this past summer of Yisrael Belsky, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, and once asked him, how does a person feel the Churban? So you think, you read, you know. He said, learn about the Beis HaMikdash, learn about the Avodah, learn Seches Vachim, learn the Parshios that talk about the Korbanos. Person learns it and they start to have a feeling of what's missing every single morning, that there's no Korban Tamid that's being brought, that the Avodah's not there, that the Kohanim Lavudasim, Leviim Lashirim Lazimram. And that all, the unraveling of all that, and the beginning of that loss was on Asara B'Tevis. It all started today. It might not have happened, it might not have come to be for a long time, for another 2.5 years, but it started today. If Pinkus says in a different sefer completely, more of a lamdash shmuz, that he says the Asar B'Tevis is very different from all other taniyos, because all other fast days, if we push them off, it says that if Asar B'Tevis would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast even on Shabbos. This is other fast days we push it off. Asar B'Tevis, according to our calendar, never falls on Shabbos, but we would fast on Shabbos. He says, you know why? Because other fast days commemorate an event. The breaking through the walls was a horrible event. The burning of the Beis HaMikdash. If it fell out on Shabbos, we pushed off to the next day because we're still mourning the event. He said, Asara B'Teves is not the event as much as it's the day. Why? Because Asara B'Teves, there was no destruction that happened yet. Asara B'Teves, so to speak, was a warning. This is it. Lo'heminu, the Navi says, they didn't believe it. The Navi Necha, Yirmiyo says, they didn't believe that it would happen. Klal Yisrael could not believe at the end of Bayis Rishon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't. They didn't believe. Yeshaya cried to them. Yirmiyo cried to them. All the Nevi'im. Klal Yisrael didn't believe. They did not believe that it would happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never throw us out. Will never build. There's too much invested. He has too much invested in us. He won't do it. And the answer was the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much invested in us that he'll even destroy the Beis HaMikdash to preserve Klal Yisrael. Because the Beis Mikdash itself became a vehicle of Klal Yisrael's drifting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Bechiyas weren't there. That whole emotional connection. I once heard, we say, a person says those words and a person even can come to crying on Yontif. So I once heard from Rav Schlesinger, he said, because those tears are not tears of sadness. That you can't knowledge to shed tears of sadness on Yontif. Those are tears of yearning. Those are tears of kisuf, and that a person's allowed to have on Yontif. That's a person should have on Yontif. Yearning to have the Avodah back, to have a Sukkis, to have a Pesach with a Korban Pesach, to have a Sukkis with the Nisach HaMayim, with Aliyah L'Regel, Yom Kippur with the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah. So Rav Pinkus says, imagine, he says, a father, God forbid, you know, dies. He says, so, he said, if the yard site fell out on Shabbos, he says, we push it off. Because eventually, a person, every person, you know, the years of a person, 120 years, eventually a person's going to leave this world. So what's the tragedy? Is the tragedy as much that if he was an old man that he died, or the tragedy is the day that it happened? I'm sorry, we do not push it off. If that year, if it falls out on Shabbos, there is no tannis on the yard side. Because he says it's not the event, it's the way of the world. The Zarach HaShemesh and Ba'a Shemesh. Parents, you know, children, you know, hopefully they have Arichas Yomim, but eventually, you know, that's the way of the world. But it's the day it happened. He said, that's Asara B'Tevis. Asara B'Tevis, they laid siege. But the siege didn't have to be the end. It shouldn't have been the end. They would have done Shuvah. If they would have come to their senses even then and done Shuvah, so it could have been turned around. So it's not the event as much as it's the day. The fact that they didn't change it. So then I have to remember, what day did it start? It started Asara B'Tevis. One last point from the Chassam Sofer. Sofer wonders what is the great tragedy of Ches Teves. I mentioned this yesterday. The Ches Teves was the day that the Targum Shiva, the Torah was translated into Yevanis, into Greek, which was, now the Goyim had a certain entrance into Torah Shiva Ksav, which they didn't have until now. But okay, there was such a miracle that happened, and it says, it's brought down, Josephus brings down, some Sofer quotes, that they was such a covet that the Goyim gave to the Jews when they read the Torah and they read this amazing, you know, all the insights of the Torah and everything else. They were so impressed with it. Matzochein v'sechel tov etzel ha-melech. So what's so bad? Chasam Sofer says a very beautiful mashal. He says there was a king that had a very, very, very beautiful cloak, which was made out of very expensive wool. Very expensive wool. And on it, all over it, were like medals and gold and trinkets and diamonds all over it. But underneath it was this very beautiful, silky, fine wool. And the people, when the king would walk around with this stunning garment, and each one of those trinkets that were pasted all over it, and these fancy diamonds or whatever, represented something else in the Malchus. Represented his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather and this part of the kingdom and that part of the kingdom. Every one of them had deep, deep, nostalgic meaning. And the people would say to the king, Your Highness, it's so beautiful. We want to have something like that also, but we can't see the beautiful silk, the beautiful material, because of all the stuff on it, all the metals and all the diamonds and other things. So the king listened to them, and he took off all of the all the other stuff that was pasted on top, all these expensive, gorgeous, stunning, you know, so that he would walk around with this very, very expensive and very beautiful fine wool. And there was one servant, one tsar, chashuv, a high-ranking officer, that was very, very, very upset. He looked very upset, looked very bothered. So the king said to Maihai, you're upset that people are showing covet to me, that people are very excited to see my robe? What kind of disrespect to the king is this? That you don't want people to be able to see how beautiful my robe is? The king was very upset. He said, why are you upset when you see it? He says, Your Majesty, he says, it's true. People now see how beautiful it is, and they're going to try to imitate you, and they're going to also have these same beautiful robes. But it hurts me, because on the outside, what was covering it over were such beautiful, meaningful, and deep, nostalgic trinkets. All of those things, not trinkets, they were expensive in their own. They were much more expensive. And because Your Highness listened to the people, so all of that was now stripped away, and all you're left with is only what was underneath. And all of that depth of what represents the kingdom and all the secrets of the kingdom and the history of the kingdom, all that is lost. Says the Chasam Sofer. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamlech the world, and he brought a Torah and he gave it to Klal Yisrael. And the Torah itself is beautiful. Beautiful lessons, beautiful ideas, beautiful concepts. But above, or maybe below, every tag, every crown in the Sefer Torah, tilei ramazim, heaps and heaps of halachos and drushos, and in every word in the Torah, there's so much depth. But these people, I guess the mashal is not that about the king, but about, you know, that they wanted a translation so they could also have the fine wool and all that beauty. But what happened was, when they had all that beauty, what they lost, what was stripped away, was the much deeper meaning and the symbolisms, that all that's lost. All the translations are amazing and they're very necessary today. But you can't have a diuk in an English translation of a word chumash or French or Russian or Greek. But in a pasuk chumash, which only has one English translation, you can have a pshat from the Kli Yakar, another pshat from the Rechayim, and they're both all different than Rashi and the Sforno, and the Targum Yonason says something totally different, and we haven't kesedah. So if you're only looking at the fine wool underneath, you're losing out on all the most beautiful diamonds and gems and jewels that line it on top. What's really on the, and that's what really connected us, what really made it the Torah special. It's losing the greatness for the, you know, the outer, the inner, whichever way, based on the mashal, the outer and inner greatness. But there's really something much, much deeper. And says the Chasam Sofer, that is the tragedy of the Ches of Ches Teves. It's true, there was a lot of covet, and the Goyim wanted to imitate it, and they have a lot of respect for it, some of them. But what the Torah really is about, and the depth of it, and what's underneath it, that was lost. So this day of Asar B'Teves, which is fleeting, it comes and goes, and in the northern hemisphere, it's the easiest fast, but it's a very serious fast, and it's a momentary reminder in the middle of the dead of the winter that it's not just about going through the motions and putting on tefillin every morning and just doing the mitzvahs. It has to be something that we live. It has to be something that moves us emotionally. That's the bechi. That's where the tears come from. And that's what the Jew cries about. Because the Jew wants to be connected. Not just to live his life. Not just to live life, but to live every single day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be zocha that this year, Be'ezer Hashem, the siege should be lifted around Klal Yisrael. Be zocha that Yom Me'elu this day, along with all the other fast days, will be nahapech, l'sasun, l'simcha, very, very soon.